Pale green greeted him, grubby buds for nut trees. Packed with lunch, Peter strode into the park. He kicked aside the disappointed acorns and endowed a grand, admiring grin to two young girls. Anna saw him straddling the daffodils, a rosy man in about the third flush of youth. He got into Judy's eye, too. Acquisitive and quick, she screamed, "There's Daddy!" Well, that's who he was, mouth open, addled by visions. He was unsettled by a collusion of charm, a conspiracy of curly hairdos and shiny faces. A year ago, in plain view, Anna had begun to decline into withering years, just as he swelled to the maximum of manhood, spitting pipe smoke, packed with tweed, an advertisement of a lover who startled men and detained the ladies. Now Judy leaped over the back of a bench and lunged into his arms. "Oh, Peter, dear," she whispered, "I didn't even know you were going to meet us." "God, you're getting big, kiddo. Where's your teeth?" he asked. He hugged her tightly, a 50-pound sack of his very own. "Say, Judy, I'm glad you still have a pussycat sniffy nose and a pussycat soft white fur." "I do not," she giggled. "Oh, yes," he said. He dropped her to her springy hind legs, but held on to one smooth front paw. "But you'd better keep your claws in, or I'll drop you right into the Hudson River." "Aw, Peter," said Judy, "quit it." Peter changed the subject and turned to Anna. "You don't look half bad, you know." "Thank you," she replied politely, "neither do you. Look at me, I'm a real outdoorsky these days." She allowed 30 seconds of silence, into which he turned, singing like a summer bird. "We danced around the maypole, the maypole, the maypole." "Well, when did you get in?" he asked. "About a week ago." "You never called." "Yes, I did, Peter. I called you at least 27 times. You're never home. Petey must be in love somewhere," I said to myself. "What is this thing," he sang in tune, "called love?" "Peter, I want you to do me a favor," she started again. "Peter, could you take Judy for the weekend? We've just moved to this new place, and I have a lot of work to do. I just don't want her in my hair. Peter?" "Ah, that's why you called." "Oh, for God's sakes," Anna said. "I really called to ask you to become my lover. That's the real reason." "Okay. Okay, don't be bitter, Anna." He stretched forth a benedicting arm. "Come in peace, go in peace." "Of course I'll take her. I like her. She's my kid." "Bitter?" she asked. Peter sighed. He turned the palms of his hands up as though to guess at rain. Anna knew him, theme and choreography. The sunshiny spring afternoon seeped through his fingers. He looked up at the witnessing heavens to keep what he could. He dropped his arms and let the rest go. "Okay," he said, "let's go. I'd like to see your place. I'm full of ideas. You should see my living room, Anna. I might even go into interior decorating if things don't pick up. Come on, I'll get the ladder out of the basement. I could move a couple of trunks. I'm crazy about heavy work. You get out of life what you put into it, right? Let's ditch the kid. I'm not your enemy." "Who is?" she asked. "Off my back, Anna. I mean it. I'll get someone to keep an eye on Judy. Just shut up." He searched for a familiar face among the Sunday strollers. "Hey, you," he finally called to an old pal on whom two chicks were leaning. "Hey, you glass-eyed louse, come here." "Not just any of your idiot friends," whispered Anna, enraged. All three soft-shoed it over to Peter. They passed out happy hellos, also a bag of dried apricots. Peter spoke to one of the girls. He patted her little boy haircut. "Well, well, baby, you have certainly changed. You must have had a very good winter." "Oh, yes, thanks," she admitted. "Say, be my friend, doll, will you? There's Judy over there, remember? She was nuts about you when she was little. How about it? Keep an eye on her for about an hour or two." "Sure, Petey, I'd love to. I'm not busy today. Judy, she was cute. I was nuts about her." "Anna," said Peter, "this is Louie. She was a real friend that year you worked. She helped me out with Judy. She was great, a lifesaver." "You're Anna," Louie said hospitably. "Oh, I think Judy's cute. We were nuts about each other. You have one smart kid. She's really smart." "Thank you," said Anna. Judy had gone off to talk to the ice cream man. She returned licking a double lime popsicle. "You have to give him 10 cents, she said. "He didn't even remember me to give me trust." Suddenly she saw Louie. "Oh," she shrieked, "it's Louie, Louie." They pinched each other's cheeks, rubbed noses like the Eskimoses, and fluttered lashes like kissing angels do. Louie looked around proudly. "Gee whiz, the kid didn't forget me. How do you like that?" Peter fished in his pockets for some change. Louis said, "Don't be ridiculous. It's on me." "Okay, girls," Peter said. "You two go on. Live it up. Eat supper out. Enjoy yourselves. Keep in touch." "I guess they do know each other," said Anna, absolutely dispirited, waving goodbye. "There," said Peter. "If you want to do things, do things." He took her arm. His other elbow cut their way through a gathering clutter of men and boys. "Going, going, gone," he said. "So long, fellows." Within 5 minutes, Anna unlocked the door of her new apartment, her snappy city leasehold, with a brand new key. In the wide foyer, on the parquet path, narrowed by rows of cardboard boxes, Peter stood stock still and whistled a dozen bars of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. "Mama," he moaned in joy, "let me live." A vista of rooms and doors to rooms, double glass doors, single hard oak doors, narrow closet doors, a home full of rooms wired with hallways stretched before. "Oh, Anna, it's a far cry. Who's paying for it?" "Not you, don't worry." "That's not the point, Mary and Joseph." He waved his arms at a chandelier. "Now, Anna, I like to see my friends set up this way. You think I'm kidding." "I'm kidding," said Anna. "Come on, what's really cooking? You look so great. You look like a chick on the sincere make, playing it cool, living it warm, you know." "Quit dreaming, Petey," she said irritably. But he had stripped his back to his undershirt and had started to move records into record cabinets. He stopped to say, "How about me putting up the Venetian blinds?" Then she softened and offered one kindness. "Peter, you're the one who really looks wonderful. You look just, well, healthy." "I take care of myself, Anna, that's why. Vegetables, high proteins, I'm not the night owl I was. Grapefruit, sunlight, oh, sunlight, that's my dear love now." "You always did take care of yourself, Peter."